The Web That Has No Weaver, Understanding Chinese Medicine, page 143, chapter 5, Origins of Disharmony, Stormy Weather, or When a Cause is Not a Cause. In my early student days in China, I worried that Chinese perception of disease, the ideas as well as the vocabulary, was not only unusual and mysterious, but also just plain silly. It seemed too simple or quaint to talk, as the Chinese do, of dampness, wind, or heat as generative factors in illness. Then one night, while I was having dinner with a Chinese family I lived with, a woman at the table excused herself because of a headwind. That incident made me realize how culturally relative my medical perceptions were. To my grounded in reality as a Western concept of the flu, Chinese ideas represent a different way of detecting and organizing information about health and disease. Chinese medicine and Chinese philosophy, as we have seen, do not concern themselves very much with cause and effect, or with trying to discover this cause that begets in linear progression that effect. Their concern is with relationships, with the pattern of events. Thus, their idea of the way illness begins is very different from the Western view. In fact, the Chinese do not have a highly developed theory for the origins of disease. They conceive of certain factors that affect a person, factors that could be described in the Western vocabulary as causes. It is therefore tempting to the Western mind to describe them as such, but to the Chinese these generative influences are not exactly causes. Take dampness, for example. In China, as in the West, ordinary people might say that someone became ill because he or she went out in the rain or because she lives in a damp basement. But to the Chinese, dampness precipitates only a pattern of dampness. There is no distinction between the illness itself and the factor that caused it. The question of cause becomes incidental. In this sense, the word cause is almost a synonym for effect. In Chinese pattern thinking, what might at first seem to be a cause becomes part of the pattern, indistinguishable and inseparable from the effect. Pattern thinking subsumes the cause, defining it in terms of the effect and making it part of the total pattern. What we in the West call a cause has little importance in Chinese thought. For qi and its resonance operational system, the cause, the process, and the outcome merge. The lines of causality are bent into circles. Nevertheless, the general population in China and its medical practitioners, when asked why is there disharmony, speak of at least three categories of precipitating factors in illness. These are environment, emotional responsiveness, way of life, and heredity. The general population, including doctors, will sometimes think of these factors as causes. People assume that dampness, for instance, can cause illness in some people at certain times. Besides the physician, friends, relatives, and neighbors might advise a person to wear a raincoat or to move out of a damp basement. In the narrower, more precise and refined realm of medicine, pattern thinking about illness is more complex and nuanced than it is the general society. To the physician, the view of dampness, for example, as a cause of disease is less important than two other ways of thinking about it. The physician would first take note of the wet basement as a simple fact, a piece of information, a sign to be considered along with other signs. He may tell the patient to move. For example, he may treat the dampness as a cause, but his main concern would be to place this sign into the patient's total configuration of signs, including color of face, pulse, tongue, emotional ambience, and so forth. The physician would see dampness as one element of a pattern of disharmony and would not necessarily single it single it out as a cause needing treatment. The dampness is just a part of the picture. Other people living in the wet basement may not get sick. So something else is going on to make the patient sensitive. The physician's gaze inevitably goes to the complete arrangement of signs. If the patient cannot move out of the basement, the doctor would try to reharmonize him or her so as to eliminate the sensitivity to dampness. And even if the patient could change homes, he or she would still need reharmonizing to deal with the pattern carried within that is susceptible to dampness. Chinese medicine refuses to see dampness as an isolatable entity. The amount of attention given to such relationships lead to the second and more important way to a Chinese physician understands dampness, as both an individual and a universe pattern. Dampness is a pattern of qualities and events that becomes an emblematic representation, a diagnostic image of internal disharmony, or an internal methodological report. Dampness means the human landscape is boggy. The person is a microcosm manifesting the same configuration of signs as does the macrocosm. Dampness in the environment is wet, heavy, sudden, and lingering. Dampness in the body makes a person heavy, bloated, and slow. If one's internal pattern is very swampy, one can manifest such bodily signs without ever having been exposed to a drop of external moisture. It is important to note that the dampness outside the body may precipitate a condition of dampness within the body, but exposure in a casual sense is unnecessary. One is more likely to have a damp illness in London, but it is still possible in Arizona. Dampness is recognized by what is going on inside, not by knowledge of external exposure. The condition is not caused by dampness. The condition is dampness. The cause is the effect. The line is a circle. The physician sees the bodily pattern as a miniature form of the more general natural image. And because the pattern of the body and of nature are similar, they share an identity of resonating equivalence. In answer to the question, why do people get sick? The Chinese can answer that participating factors in one of the three categories, environment, emotion, and way of life, generate illness. But although one or another of these factors may be present at the beginning of an illness, that factor is never seen as separate from the illness. It is part of the web. One of the signs and symptoms the Chinese physician weaves into a diagnosis. Six pernicious influences. Liu Yin. The six pernicious influences are the meteorological factors that play a part in disease. They include six climatic phenomena: wind, cold, fire or heat, dampness, dryness, and summer heat, and are also called the six evils, or Liu Xie. An internally generated pernicious influence tends to be an assessment of a protracted disharmony and a description of a chronic condition. An externally generated influence tends to be a statement of exposure and imply a sudden onset of illness. As infectious and contagious diseases become a less prominent aspect of healthcare for significant parts of the world, internal pernicious influences has become the dominant discussion in East Asian medicine. An internal pernicious influence is a description of a long-term illness or constitutional pattern of disharmony. The internal pernicious influence, which has the name of an atmospheric condition that is considered to be out of control, is a metaphoric representation of bad weather that persists in the human terrain. The disharmonious climate has the sense that the yin and balance has been disrupted and distorted. The label means that the everyday life of a human being and the particular kind of weather manifest similar signs and symptoms, share a resonance of qi. When the body is weakened by an imbalance of yin and yang, a climatic phenomenon can be said to invade the body and become a pernicious influence. This is an important Chinese explanation for diseases with sudden onset, for example, a cold or flu, or dramatic changes in what is typical behavior for a person. It's also a statement that microcosm is affected directly by the macrocosm. When there is such an incursion, the Chinese believe that the body undergoes a conflict between the pernicious influence and the normal qi. The first encounter of the invading influence is with the body's protective qi. If the protective qi is strong, the influence is expelled and the individual recovers. But if the qi is weak, or the pernicious influence is very strong, the illness develops and goes deeper, becoming more involved with the internal organs. Illness generated by any of the pernicious influences that have invaded the body usually come on suddenly, with no warning. They are characterized by aversion towards a particular influence. For example, fear of cold, dislike of wind, fever, chills, body aches, and general malaise. These symptoms are understood to be the result of normal qi and protective qi attempting to expel the influence. When a pernicious influence invades the body from the outside, it is called an external pernicious influence. All the pernicious influences, however, are really models or images for human process that mimic climatic conditions and share similar resonance. In the following description of each influence, both the internal and external aspects are discussed. Dampness, or qi. Dampness is wet, heavy, and slow. It is yin. Human activity should ceaselessly transform from one state to another. When it gets bogged down, Chinese medicine sees dampness. Dampness accumulates, has poor and unclear bound medicine. Dampness accumulates, has poor and unclear boundaries, and tends to be sticky. Dampness is heavy, turbid, and lingering. It has a kind of soft overstability. Dampness tends to move downward, and so that Neijing states that the lower body is the first area affected by dampness. When a person experiences dampness, the head may feel dull, as if in a sack, the Chinese say. The limbs may feel heavy and sore, and a person will express a dislike for damp environments. Excretions and secretions associated with dampness are copious and often turbid, cloudy, or sticky, like sand in the eyes, cloudy urine, heavy diarrhea, heavy vaginal discharge, or fluid-filled or oozing skin eruptions. Dampness can easily obstruct the movement of qi, producing fullness of the chest or abdomen, and dribbling or incomplete urination or defecation. Dampness can penetrate the meridians, affecting the limbs and causing heaviness, stiffness, or soreness of the joints. Dampness resonates with and most easily affect the spleen. The spleen rules the raising of the pure and transforms the valuable components of food and drink into qi and blood. This transmutation depends on a vaporization process that requires a dry environment. A traditional Chinese saying sums this up, sum this up as the spleen-like dryness. The spleen is therefore especially sensitive to dampness. Dampness can readily distress the spleen and interfere with its raising of pure foods and fluids. This can be seen in signs such as loss of appetite, indigestion, nausea, diarrhea, and abdominal edema. At the same time, however, other spleen disharmonies, because they prevent the raising or transforming of fluids, can allow extra moisture to linger in the body, leading to a condition of dampness elsewhere in the body. Dampness may affect the spleen's consciousness of potentials and creates a morass of a different set of boggy problems. In this situation, a person might ruminate easily, constantly worry, be unable to make a decision, help others in a kind of clinging way, easily succumb to the holding on component of jealousy, be oversympathetic, be trustworthy and nurturing to others to the point of self-destructiveness. Notice that experience that once were exciting become burdensome, be unable to let go or prioritize excessive responsibilities, obsess over ideas, be compulsive, or experience mental unclearness or flabbiness. External and internal dampness are distinguishable primarily by their speed of onset. External dampness will be acute and accompanied by other external signs, but will easily turn into internal dampness. And internal dampness will make a person more susceptible to external dampness. Either type of dampness lingers and stagnates, and even external dampness can last a relatively long time. Clinical sketch. Two patients have painful vesicular lesions on their bodies. The first patient has eruptions on his face. The second patient has them on her lower trunk. A biomedical doctor diagnoses both conditions as helpless zoster and prescribes analgesics for the pain. As there is no especially effective biomedical treatment for the virus causing the disease, the patients go to a Chinese doctor who will probably recognize overlapping, which is they both have red, painful, and swollen eruptions, which is heat, but distinct patterns of disharmony. They are located in different places. The patient with face blisters will be seen to have more of a wind component, while the patient whose eruptions are on the lower trunk will be considered to have a dampness component because of its being in the lower part of the body. The treatments will differ accordingly. This illustration is based on the incident mentioned in the introduction to the first edition. If these Chinese treatments prove to be effective in randomized controlled clinical trials, it may be because some of the herbs used to treat this condition have demonstrated the ability to inhibit the virus in vitro. Also, it seems that selecting an herb treatment solely on the basis of biomedical knowledge would probably have been less effective than combining the herbs according to traditional method. Mucus or tan is a form of internal dampness. It is a concentrated chronic dampness and is seen in conjunction with a great many disharmonies. The term mucus includes the Western meaning of a secretion of the mucus membranes visible, for instance, in the form of a phlegm. But it also has other characteristics and connotations that make it an entirely different concept form that of Western physiology. Mucus generally arises with disharmonies of the spleen or kidneys that affect the movement of water in the body. Such a condition allows dampness to linger, and the dampness may condense, creating mucus. Mucus is thick and heavy, heavier than dampness. It can more easily cause obstructions and can generate lumps, nodules, or tumors. When mucus disturbs the consciousness of potentials, the signs will resemble a more exaggerated and focused dampness. Symptoms can include mental confusion, extreme obsessive ideation, repetitive and fixed ruminations, and even loss of contact with reality and delusions. Some of the symptomology overlaps with the joint spleen heart pattern. Mucus affecting the heart spirit alone will lead to inappropriate or bizarre behavior, stupor, or coma-like states. When mucus collects in the lungs, there may be coughing with a heavy expectoration or deeply entrenched grief. Mucus in the meridians may result in numbness, paralysis, or the development of nodules and soft mobile tumors. Mucus in the throat can cause the sensation of a lump in the throat. An examination of the tongue and the pulse will tell a physician whether or not mucus is present in disharmony. A thick, greasy coating on the tongue or a slippery pulse are the two most important signs. Whenever there is mucus, it implies dampness.